The jury retired at 10:15 a.m. on Wednesday. Annette and Renee remained in the courtroom for a while, then left for lunch. It was difficult to eat. After hearing every word of testimony, they were even further convinced their brother was innocent. But it was Peterson's courtroom. Most of the rulings had gone his way. He'd patched together the same witnesses with just as little evidence and got a guilty verdict against Fritz. They despised the man. He was loud and arrogant and ran over people. They detested him for what he was doing to their brother. The hours passed. At 4:30, word arrived that the jury had a verdict, and the courtroom filled up quickly. Judge Jones took his place and lectured the spectators against outbursts. Annette and Renee held hands and prayed. Across the aisle, the Carter family held hands too and prayed. Their ordeal was almost over. At 4:40, the jury foreman handed a verdict to the clerk, who glanced at it and passed it on to Judge Jones. He announced the verdict, guilty on all counts. The Carters silently pumped their hands in the air in a show of victory. Annette and Renee wept quietly, as did Peggy Stillwell. Ron hung his head, shaken but not altogether surprised. After 11 months in the Pontotoc County Jail, he had become part of a rotten system. He knew Dennis Fritz was an innocent man, yet he'd been convicted by the same cops and same prosecutor in the same courtroom. Judge Jones was anxious to finish the trial. Without a pause, he ordered the state to begin the penalty phase. Nancy Shue addressed the jury and explained that since the murder was especially heinous, atrocious, and cruel, and since it was committed for the purpose of preventing arrest, and since there was a strong likelihood that Ron would kill again and was thus a continuing threat to society, he should be put to death. To prove this, the state called four witnesses, four women Ron had encountered before, none of whom had bothered to press criminal charges against him. The first was Beverly Setliff, who testified that on June 14, 1981, 7 years earlier, she had seen Ron Williamson outside her house late at night as she was preparing for bed. He yelled, "Hey!" and, "I know you're in there and I'm going to get you." She had never seen him before. She locked the doors and he disappeared. She did not call the police, didn't even think about it, really, and didn't consider filing a complaint until the next day when she saw a cop at a convenience store and told him about the incident. If a formal report was prepared, she never saw it. 3 weeks later, she saw Ron again, and a friend told her his name. 6 years passed. When Ron was arrested, she called the police and told the story of the prowler.